Most people don't know what's holding them back, but you do because you listen to me, Sam, your self-care guru and journal junkie. Welcome to Journal Entries, your safe place where you can tune in weekly to get tips, tricks, and journal prompts to uncover your feelings, gain clarity, and make your move. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Journal Entries. Today, we are diving into something that I constantly see in myself and in the women that I work with. What we're talking about is why even the smartest, most capable, most self-aware women still find themselves self-sabotaging. If you've ever thought, I know better, so why do I keep doing this? This episode is for you. In fact, I feel like that's almost one of the most difficult pieces of being a self-aware person or a quote-unquote smart person, somebody who is invested in doing personal development. It's knowing that you're doing the thing, that you're procrastinating or overthinking, which soon you'll learn that those are two examples of unconscious self-sabotaging. So the difficult part is knowing that you're doing those things and not being able to stop yourself, at least not longer than a week of doing a new habit or a week and a half of doing a new habit. So today we're going to talk about what those behaviors are and actually how to break through. Real quick, want to pause and give Jess a shout out because she left a comment over on Spotify. She said on episode 91, "This episode was amazing. I have no words, 2 exclamation points. I realized how much I live on autopilot. I'm glad this episode brought it into awareness." That's honestly something that we're going to talk about today is the awareness piece, because I think awareness is always the first step. So with that being said, I want to share a quick story that happened just last week. I was working on the presentation of the Get Off Autopilot workshop that I hosted. And it was last minute, you guys. I was sick for 2.5 weeks, and I did not want to push off this presentation. And so I needed to get my slides done. And after I picked up Griffin, my son, from daycare, he had wanted to go over to my parents' house, which is where I hosted his birthday party, and they got him a bounce house, and it was still up. So he wanted to go back over and bounce. And my first instinct, my first thought was, okay, deep breath, this is fine. I will just quickly go home and get my laptop so that I can sit on the porch and finish working while overlooking this bounce house and getting him to bounce and, you know, he gets to have fun too. This is a classic self-sabotage moment. I'm not sure if you picked up on that, but I was about to miss out on this precious connection time, this opportunity to connect with my son, because he asked me, "Mommy, do you want to jump with me?" And when he asked me that, my heart broke a little bit, thinking that my head went to, "Nope, I have to work." But that was my hyperachiever, saboteur, self-sabotage running the show. But here's the thing. I caught myself. I was self-aware enough to know that that was my hyperachiever. And I knew what to do in that moment to break through to that so that I actually didn't even pick up my laptop. I didn't even work at all. I just said yes to my son and I bounced in that bounce house like I was 5 years old or 4 years old, like my son just turned. So that's what we're talking about today, how to spot these patterns in yourself and how to actually break free from them. You want to stick around until the end of this episode or fast forward, because I'll be sharing all of the details about how we address these exact patterns in my new self-sabotage detox program. But first, I want to share that self-sabotage isn't a sign that something is wrong with you, that you are weak, or that you don't have good habits, or that you can't follow through on something. Self-sabotage is your brain trying to protect you based on old patterns or old beliefs. It's like a protection mechanism. You can think of it like an overprotective friend or like a big brother, big sister who means well, but they keep holding you back, right? At one point, the habits that you have and the behaviors that you have, these patterns, kept you safe, likely as a child. Sometimes they may have kept you physically safe. So if you think of like people pleasing, when you were a kid, if you grew up, especially in like a volatile household, maybe being kind and just doing whatever your parents said kept you physically safe so that you weren't in the line of fire, right? Or maybe other times it kept you close to feeling love, whatever your patterns were that I'll share with you next. Or maybe it kept you feeling protected. So it stemmed from a place that I forget the actual age. I will look this up, but we develop our self-sabotage patterns when we are very young, like before the age of 7, I think it is. So these were developed out of like necessity to survive, but we'd never really learn how to unlearn these, especially as we age. And we don't need these anymore. We are fully grown adults. We are fully grown women who are smart, who are putting in the work, yet we have this subconscious belief and pattern that, again, is subconscious. 95% of our beliefs and decisions that we make and our habits and behaviors that we have are all based on our subconscious beliefs. It's what we believe that we're not even aware of. That's huge. And so if we can get into our brains and understand what are those beliefs that we and patterns that are dictating who we are and how we show up and changing them, disrupting them, if they're not benefiting us, this can change the way that you show up as a mom, as a CEO, as the woman that you want to be. So here's something mind-blowing that I learned. It's that we have 10 distinct patterns of self-sabotage. And I'm going to give you a rundown of what they are. First, there's the judge. This is the most powerful one for every human. The judge is the voice that is constantly criticizing everything that you do and everything that other people do too. So there's two sides of the judge. This you might hear in your head as statements like, you should be more patient with your kids. Why can't you keep the house cleaner? Other moms have it all together. Or even hyper fixating on the tone that your friend or partner or boss had in yesterday's conversation. It's judging yourself on the expectations that you have for yourself, or again, the expectations that you have for others. Honestly, even judging what other people are wearing, judging how other people show up. Then we've got 9 more. I'm going to share a common thought or action that you may experience with each one, and then the associated saboteur that goes along with it, so that you can start to see how it might be showing up in your life right now. Each one has its own special way of making us think that it's helpful when actually, again, it's holding us back. So when I say some of these things, your instinct, your default might be like, yeah, but that's how I got the promotion. That's how I make friends. That's how I do XYZ. But in reality, it's not serving you. And you might start to see that throughout this episode. So as I say these, think through which ones hit the hardest for you, which ones you can relate to the most. And I would love to hear them. So DM me on Instagram, samantha.s.says, and let me know. Okay, let's dig in. The first, doom scrolling Instagram instead of tackling that to-do list, or doom scrolling Instagram instead of following through on your ideal nightly routine that you've set up a million times and you've only done once, or just avoiding the conversations that you want to have, that you know you need to have. This is the avoider saboteur that's keeping you stuck. It's keeping you right where you are. Avoiding feels more comfortable and safer, but I think we all know that we need to actually do the things, right? This is also procrastinating. I'm a huge procrastinator. Avoider is actually my number 2 saboteur. You might relate to this extremely well, like I can, or this might be on the bottom of your list. But if you can relate to the avoiding, the procrastinating, the not doing activities that you know you really should do, and you put it off and put it off and put it off, then you might be an avoider. Next is reloading the dishwasher after your partner already did it for you because it just wasn't right. they didn't do it right. Or being hyper fixated on the routines for your kids or your weekend plans. This is the controller saboteur that is pushing away help that you actually need that would make you feel really supported. The third is driving around town just to donate a bag of Halloween candy to your kids' classroom. I saw that sign go up, the volunteer sign, yesterday when I went to go pick up my son from daycare. And it's like, which parent wants to donate all these things to the classroom? And that's what made me think of this. It's like, how many of you saw that sign up sheet and you're like, oh crap, I already got my groceries for the week, but now I need to go get candy, or now I need to go get a Halloween costume, the very specific one that my kid asked for. And it's all the way like in like an hour away or something. This is the hyperachiever. And this isn't even work stuff. This is just a mom related thing. Hyperachieving at work is like going above and beyond when you really don't have to, when your boss would be A-okay, perfectly fine with the normal quality of work that you deliver. So again, this is the hyperachiever that is just exhausting you when you don't need to be doing these things. The next example is talking yourself out of your dreams and passions and doing something for you because the timing isn't right, or because your kids are more important. You should be investing more time and money into your kids than you. This is the hyper-rational saboteur, and it's blocking you from your potential. Investing in you is like the best thing that you can do because it ripples positively into you and then outward into all areas of your life, especially those closest to you, like your kids. Next, I think we can all relate to this on some level, is checking work emails during family time or just late at night, basically anytime you're not at work. This is the hypervigilant saboteur stealing your precious moments of alone time or family time. Next, constantly switching your parenting strategies or constantly switching up your organizational methods. This is the restless saboteur chasing perfection, and therefore you're not staying committed to anything long enough to actually reach your goals. One of my private clients right now, one of her top saboteurs is restless, and she was telling me that she is like a very organized person, but one thing that she does is when she gets stressed, she takes all of her to-do list items and, you know, one day she'll have it in Google Sheets. And then the next day she'll try out a new system and just reorganize it into Asana. And then the next day she'll put it into, Excel spreadsheets. And then she'll find a new app. And she's not actually making progress towards anything, but it makes her feel accomplished by just jumping from thing to thing. That's restlessness. Next, turning fun into pressure. This is the stickler saboteur that is simply stealing your joy. You're not able to actually enjoy anything because you're always thinking that you're under pressure or you have to be performing. The second to last example, having the mindset of everyone else has it figured out except for me. Or something that a previous private client said to me was, I worked just as hard. Why did she get noticed and not me? This is the victim saboteur that is keeping you small and stunting your own growth. Because the longer you stay in this victim mindset, which I get it, as a single mom with full custody, I often slip into this headspace of like, it is freaking hard having full responsibility and owning my business and putting so much energy into parenting and like the way that I want to parent. And it's so easy to slip into like other people have it easier because they have a partner. And I know that that's not true because I think back to when I had a partner and was it necessarily easier with him, with his body being here? No, but you know, it's so easy to slip into that victim mindset. Last but not least, saying yes to another play date or hosting people for dinner when you actually need alone time or not being firm on what you actually need in a relationship. I just did a post about that yesterday. This is the people pleaser saboteur that is putting everybody else first, and it often leaves you feeling resentful. Which one of all of those, I know that was a lot, but which one of those could you relate to the most? The first thing that we're going to be doing inside of the self-sabotage detox is taking a quiz to see which saboteurs are the most impactful for you, where they all rank for you. My number one is the pleaser. My number two, as I said, was the avoider. Number three was the achiever. But the pleaser, I noticed that last night. My family had a family dinner where a bunch of people came over, and Griffin was having a moment. He was just crying loudly for a long time, and he couldn't control himself. So I took him in another room, and the first thing that I said to him was, "Your crying is interrupting everyone at the table." I said it in a calm, nice way, like as nice as you can say that. But immediately I recognized that that was the pleaser in me. Again, I said, "Your crying is interrupting everybody else," essentially. And that wasn't the problem. I was just aware, extra aware, of how others were perceiving Griffin crying, about what they were thinking about me, about how I was handling the situation, about him, about how he was escalating, and how I should handle the situation. My statement was all about like how he was making other people feel, which is the opposite of how I want to raise him and the opposite of how I want to choose to feel anyways. The real problem was actually like what was making him feel that way and then working through that emotion. So after saying that, after catching myself, I changed my tone and I said, "I know it's really hard right now. There's a lot of people here. How are you feeling? What got you upset?" And he took a minute and he replied, "I want to be alone." And then we just started talking about that and how we were alone. And then more people came into the room and just the real issue and the solution. And about 5 minutes later, he looked at me and said, "I'm better now, mommy." I share that because I want you to know a few things. Number one, self-sabotage can actually be helpful. The analogy that I heard that really stuck with me is think of putting your hand on a hot stove. When you do that, you feel pain and immediately you lift your hand up off of the stove. That first second of pain is helpful because it signals to your brain to lift your hand up. When you choose to keep your hand there longer, that is self-sabotage. In that experience that I just talked about last night with the family party and me people-pleasing, I felt like that was a helpful situation for me because I said my default subconscious people-pleasing statement of your behavior is making everybody else feel interrupted and distracted. And immediately I lifted my hand off the stove because it triggered me to think, wait, hold up. That's not how I want to be as a mom, as I was just saying, right? So for me, since I'm now self-aware of my behaviors and specifically my self-sabotaging patterns, that was very helpful for me. And secondly, knowing your saboteurs and the patterns that you have, they're not going to go away. It's all about recognizing them in you and then learning to break through them. However, knowing your patterns and being self-aware isn't enough to just break through them. That's why you can read all of the personal development books and listen to this podcast episode and still find yourself stuck in the same cycles. So I want to share with you what I've discovered on my journey and after working with women and through the saboteur coaching program that I went through. There's four things. The first is your saboteurs operate on a neural level. That's your brain. These sabotaging patterns are literally wired into your brain after years of repetition. That's why you default back to them. And that's also why simply trying harder or wishing that you had more self-control or knowing better isn't enough to change them. And it's also why you almost feel like it's who you are. Have you ever said, "I'm a people pleaser," or I'm a recovering people pleaser, or I'm a control freak. It's like these patterns have become our identity. Number two, these patterns aren't happening on a conscious level. It's subconscious. These saboteurs are triggered before our conscious mind even kicks in. Like I just explained with the example from last night, my response of what I said to Griffin was like, literally, I couldn't even control what I said out of my mouth. It was just like, blah, blah, people pleasing. Blah. By the time that you realize you're in a saboteur pattern, your brain has already run through thousands of neural pathways, making decisions based on your old programming rather than your present reality. Third, your saboteur patterns and the outcomes of them, think strict routines or working very hard, taking things seriously or overthinking, overanalyzing. Those things are reinforced by society's expectations, especially of women. Every time you see a social media post about mom life or hear another comment about a woman who has it all, the external pressures strengthen your saboteurs by confirming the grip that they have on being helpful. Like, you have to work really hard to get the promotion. And we assume, oh, that means we have to also check emails at night and be available 24/7 and miss school events with our kids because we have to be at that meeting. And lastly, saboteurs often disguise themselves as being responsible or like making us feel like we're being a good mom, we're being a good human. The saboteurs are so sneaky. The old version of me may have even felt like my comment to Griffin of "your crying is disrupting the table" may have even been helpful because I was teaching him that your crying has an impact on other people, right? And that might be true, but it might not be as well. And saboteurs hijack your genuine desire to be the mom that you want to be a helpful coworker or a passionate person. And it twists it into patterns that actually prevent you from showing up as the woman that you want to be. So what's the answer? It's not about fighting these patterns. That just creates more stress. If you're always thinking, stop overthinking, Sam, don't go there. Or if you are the stickler and really trying to stick to the routines, it's not about thinking, all right, no more routines for the rest of my life. That's like fighting it. And that's going to make you feel internally and subconsciously way more stress. Instead, it's about developing awareness of your specific patterns. While we all have these saboteurs, all 10, they show up uniquely for each person. Like fingerprints, right? We all have different fingerprints and toe prints. The fingerprint of your self-sabotage and how it shows up needs to be understood before it can be changed. Then step two is learning to intercept them in real time. So step one is looking into the past and what experiences come up for you about your saboteurs and how it's gotten in your way. And this step two is more so of like, okay, what's happening right now? And learning how to disrupt them in real time. Think of this as installing a pause button between your trigger and your response, giving you that moment to choose differently. Like I said that thing to Griffin, and then my brain literally went, pause, wait, how do I want to respond? So that I'm in alignment with the mom that I want to be. And the mom that I want to be, I've already determined, and this is the type of work that we will be doing as well in the detox, but the mom that I want to be is an emotionally aware mom that teaches my child to be emotionally aware as well, aware of his feelings, not so much aware and controlling and managing other people's feelings. My therapist would be so proud. She used to say all the time, practice the pause. Instead of defaulting to responding immediately. It's honestly still something I'm working on. Anytime somebody would ask me a question, immediately I would just like blurt out whatever came to my mind. And so I've been working on pausing and sometimes even saying, I'm going to pause. I need a minute to think on this. I've actually been practicing that on Griffin. I was even silent after he asked me something. I didn't say anything. I was silent. And he said, are you pausing? Or do you need time to think? Something like that. And I was like, yes, I do. Okay. Step three is creating new responses. So not just disrupting in real time, but it's in your real life, integrating those disrupting patterns and the disruption, like actually integrating those habits, which is a 10-second thing that you can do, and actually implementing that into your real life. This isn't about forcing yourself into doing something like a 30-minute workout or a new habit. Again, it's only 10 seconds, and it's just about intentionally choosing responses that you get to pick from that reflect your values and, again, how you want to show up, because that's different for everybody. And last, practicing new patterns until they become automatic. Again, by the end of this detox, you won't even be thinking of these things because it's going to be second nature to you. Think of these four steps as like installing a new operating system into the computer. The computer being your brain and body. And it's going to serve who you are now, the woman and mom maybe and employee that you are now, not that child that needed the protection in the past and who you needed to be in the past. Maybe you needed to be a people pleaser in that relationship that you had 5 years ago, but that's not serving you anymore, right? And we need to like control alt delete what's not serving you anymore and install this new operating system that will serve you going forward. So if you're like, okay, deep breath, sounds good, I'm on board, but how do I do each of these things? Because I've been struggling with overthinking since I was 13, or I've been a control freak my whole life, or I've been glued to my phone playing that silly game at night instead of being super present with my family since I got my phone. Then you are who I created this upcoming program for, the self-sabotage detox. This is specifically designed for women who are ready to let go of these self-sabotaging patterns and to stop letting self-sabotage literally run your life, literally run 95% of your life and decisions and behaviors and habits. These women are ready to operate on a conscious level. Inside this 4-month transformation, you will learn exactly how to identify your saboteurs and your specific patterns and how they show up for you in real time. You're going to create practical strategies that work for you on how to interrupt them. Each saboteur actually has different, unique ways to hack it. So you're going to learn that. You're going to build new habits that stick. Again, it's only 10-second habits that I'm going to be teaching. And I want you to think of it like mental fitness, exercising your brain. Something that I've learned in the saboteur coaching program that I took is that anticipating something means that you're so much more likely to actually do it. And so we're going to be anticipating our day and plugging in these 10-second exercises so that you actually do it. Another thing I learned is that when you have accountability, you are 500% or 500 times more likely to actually stick with it. So one huge aspect of the self-sabotage detox is the accountability, not just from me, which you will have, but the group aspect as well. And already there's 3 women in there that are going to be doing this with you and sharing their experiences with you. So that's going to be amazing. And all of this is going to help you get off of that subconscious, get off of that unconscious level so that you can live in the present moment, actually be aware and form new memories and remember what you did yesterday, because you're not going to be living on autopilot, and become more patient and show up as the partner and mom and woman that you want to be. Okay, so here are some quick details. In addition to the community aspect that I already spoke on, we will have group calls. You'll get daily access to group coaching so that, again, in real time, I'm in your back pocket, as is the community, for extra accountability. You'll get a VIP pass to Emotionally Empowered. That's the journaling community that I have for the duration of this 4-month group, which is a $590 value, by the way. And the Journaling for Human Design course. Does anyone here remember when we did that back in June? I don't know if you participated in it or not, but if not, you get access to that. That is $997 on its own, but you get access to that because I love it so much. And talk about decisions, that will help you make decisions based on you and your design. It's such an incredible course. This is the first time that I'm running the Self-Sabotage Detox. I'm so excited. Because it's my first time, it is the cheapest that it's going to be and the closest proximity to me that it will ever be. So now is the time to hop in and join the first round. It's going to be so amazing. So check out the link in the show notes to learn more or shoot me a message too on Instagram. There is no strings attached to simply ask me questions and learn more. Nothing by messaging me means that you need to sign up. So please, please, please ask me questions about it and let's chat and see if it's a good fit for you. And maybe it is, maybe it's not, but either way, I would rather have you know than just wonder in the back of your mind and then miss out on this opportunity. Before we end today, I want to leave you with this thought. You're not broken. And you don't need fixing. You are just running on old patterns that once served a purpose but are now holding you back. So the good news is that you have the power to change them. And it is in your control. And you can do this. If this episode resonated with you, I would love for you to take a screenshot and share it on Instagram. Tag me at samantha.s.says and let me know which saboteur you recognized in yourself. Also, you can leave a comment over on Spotify or a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much for listening and I'll see you next week. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's journal entry. I love connecting with my listeners, so make sure you screenshot this episode and tag me on Instagram at samantha.s.says so I know you're listening. And don't forget to grab your free training and journal prompts at www.samanthapenkoff.com/podcast.